This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى سيزن سورة إسراء. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Everyone's probably heard of this verse, first ayah of Surah Al-Isra, in which Allah talks about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the whole episode of Isra and Mi'raj. These are two terms. Many of us, we've heard these two terms. These two words and terms are actually different. They don't mean the same thing. The translation of the ayah, Allah only mentions Isra in this verse. The translation of the ayah is, glorified be your Lord, Allah, Subhanalladhi Asra. The word Asra, Alif Sin Raya, from which the word Isra has been taken. Glorified be your Lord who took his servant by the night. So Isra means taking someone by the night. He took his servant by the night. Min al-Masjid al-Haram, from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. This is the only place in the Quran where Allah talks about Masjid al-Aqsa. And as Sheikh Najib has been mentioning and everyone else, that Masjid al-Aqsa is not just the masjid that we prayed in, but the whole sanctuary, the whole of Bayt al-Maqdis. So, to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Allah says, Alladhi barakna hawlahu. That Masjid al-Aqsa, around which the area we have blessed. So the whole area Allah has blessed. I'll tell you how it's blessed, which the commentators mention. Then Allah says, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that we show him some of our signs. إِنَّهُ السَّمِعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Now, in this ayah, Allah talks about the journey taken by the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travel from Masjid al-Haram. There's two types of narrations. In some narrations, it's mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house of Ummu Hani radiallahu anha. In other narrations, it's mentioned that he was lying in the Hatim. You know, if you've been to Mecca, in the Hatim near the Kaaba. Both, you can unite these two narrations because he was first in the house of Ummu Hani, then the roof split, the angel came to him, took him from there, washed his heart. His heart was also washed before when he was young, but this was another time. And then from there, the angel took him to Masjid al-Haram in the Hatim. And then from there, the journey was made by night. So Isra only refers to the first part of the journey. There's two parts. The first leg of the journey is from Masjid al-Haram to this place here. That first part or first episode of the journey is known as Isra, not Mi'raj. Okay? This has been clearly mentioned in the Quran. Some of you, if you know, like you've studied a bit, we have something called Qat'i. Yeah, Marana Sahib. You know Marana Sahib, right? Qat'i, which means absolute. Qat'i means something categorically established in the Quran and Sunnah. If somebody rejects that, they instantly leave Islam. So if somebody rejects that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that journey physically from Masjid al-Haram to here, then that is kufr, because that's denying a clear, absolute, categorical, qat'i text of the Quran. Then the second part of the journey from here, from Masjid al-Aqsa, from Bayt al-Maqdis to the heavens, that's called Mi'raj. What is it called? Mi'raj. It's not Mi'raj. The proper correct term is Mi'raj, with the kasra on the mim. Mi'raj literally in Arabic is ism ala, which means stairways or staircase or like a lift. That's called Mi'raj. Mi'raj ya'aluju, which means to ascend. The means of ascension, the means of climbing. If you put a ladder here, that's called Mi'raj. This is a Mi'raj as well. Look, already. Maybe someone wants to do Mi'raj right now. Bismillah. Second heaven, third heaven. So, it's a means of ascension. This has been referred to in the Quran indicated towards in the Quran. Not clearly referred to, but indicated in Surah An-Najm. So it's not absolutely categorical in the Quran, but there's clear hadiths in Bukhari and elsewhere. Mutawatir, absolute, unanimous hadiths. So if someone rejects that, they are severely deviated, but then they don't be considered to be a kafir. So Allah said, we took the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. This Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah says, we blessed the surroundings. How did He bless the surroundings? In two ways. I'm just summarizing this. Worldly as well as ukhrawi, next worldly. This worldly benefit or blessings is that this area is referring to the barakah, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this whole area with prophets. Many prophets, they prayed towards this place, prayed here, like we were hearing yesterday. So there's a lot of spiritual benefit and also worldly benefits, because this area was lush with gardens, with olives, with, and still is the whole area with. And this is why in Surah Ad-Din, when Allah says, "What dini was Zaytun?" Yeah, we all know what dini was Zaytun. Wa turi sini, wa hadha al-balad al-amin. What dini was Zaytun is referring to Quds. Quds is Arabic, like the Imam in today's Jumu'ah khutbah when he was making dua. I actually told him afterwards, as well, I said, I like your dua. Not in Jumu'ah, the Fajr, when he did the Qunut. He was, I thought they would be a bit scared here, but not scared here. Like, he clearly made a dua against the oppressors and the occupiers. So he talked about Quds, and even the Imam in the Khutbah also talked about it. Quds, it's an Arabic name for Jerusalem. So, what's I saying? Just before Quds?
Benefits.
Yeah, the benefits, the Wattini was Zaytun. Wattini was Zaytun is referring to Quds. It's not really referring to the olive and the fig. Teen means fig, Zaytun means olive. But it's actually referring to this area. Waturi Sinin, referring to Mount Sinai. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, and this blessed and trusted land, which is that? Makkah. So Allah is referring to Quds, Jerusalem, and then Mount Sinai. He's taking an oath by these three places, and then he's taking an oath by Makkah. So this happened to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This ascension, this first part of the journey and the second part of the journey. Now this first part of the journey was done on an animal, as we know, known as Buraq. In Arabic, Buraq is from the word Barq. Barq means lightning. You know, lightning speed, we say traveling by lightning speed. That's why it's called Buraq. It's a terrestrial animal. Its speed is like, in that time people couldn't understand. Now it's possible to understand. So this is why it was called Buraq. The journey from Masjid al-Haram to here was done by the animal Buraq. There's some descriptions given in some hadiths, we don't have time to go into them. Allah brought the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here on this animal. This journey was done, this has to be the aqidah of all the Muslims. This journey was a journey that was done physically. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't just a spirit or in spirit, or just a dream or a vision. Otherwise, we all have mi'raj, alhamdulillah, every day. Okay? Everyone's been everywhere, Jannah and everywhere, alhamdulillah. This was a physical, by body, by spirit, with ruh. He physically came here. Okay? Some people questioned that time and even till today. They made mockery. The Sahaba refuted this. Early scholars have written books on this, that there's so many reasons why this view that it might just be a dream or a vision. First of all, Allah said Subhanallah. Allah is referring to this amazing incident. Glory to be Allah, glorified be your Lord who did this magnificent, something amazing. If it was a dream, it's nothing big, no big deal. And then bi'abdihi, He took His servant. Another meaning there as well is that Allah talked about His Prophet to be a servant. The highest mu'jizah, one of the greatest mu'jizah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is referring to him as a servant, because the greatest maqam for a human, even before prophethood, is slavehood. And also to make sure that when people hear this, that he went to the heavens, they don't start considering him to be a god. He's still a slave, he's still a servant. بِعَبْدِهِ. And the word abd refers to a physical body. He took him physically. بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. There's many reasons for that. So we have to believe it was done physically, not by in a dream or in a spirit or etc. He came here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, came to Quds, to Al-Aqsa, or Baytul Maqdis, different terms you can use. And he first entered the Aqsa. Okay? Now I just want to mention this here. Did he enter the masjid that we prayed in right now? Not necessarily so. Did he enter this particular masjid here? Not necessarily so. It could be anywhere in this sanctuary. Actually, there's nothing mentioned what this place looked like at that time. Masjid in Arabic means a place to make sajda or pray. If you make sajda on a sand, that place is masjid. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The whole of earth has been made a place of sujood for me. So we can pray whatever. And earth also includes the plain. Yeah, we all played in the plain. It also includes, some people said, look, the earth, so that's not the earth, we can't pray down there. It's a different discussion. So, masjid is anywhere where you make sujood. It could have been just sand, it could just be land. It could be a door, there could be just something small. Allah knows best, there's no details given. He came here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's two opinions about when he led the prophets in prayer. Did he lead all the prophets in prayer first and then go to the heavens? Or was it on his return? Some scholars of the tafsir of the Quran, they are of the opinion that he led them first, like a lot of people think, and then he went. But the majority view, Imam Ibn Kathir mentions this as well and many others, is that no. He first came, he offered 2 rak'at tahiyyatul masjid. This is why it's recommended. When we first came here, we should have all, and I'm sure everybody did, the first time we entered this Aqsa area or Bayt al-Maqdis area, we offered 2 rak'at tahiyyatul masjid. That's a sunnah. And then after that, in some form, in a stairway, some said with the buraq again, others said buraq wasn't used, the buraq was tied to a wall somewhere here. It could be somewhere here. We can't say categorically. This is not categorical. I don't want to downpour this and you know, we want to touch this as well, inshallah. It could be 2%, 1%, inshallah, even that's enough for us. At least we can breathe the air. That's what I say to a lot of some of the brothers I was talking to. Just breathe the air. There's lots of blessings in the air. Maybe all these buildings, like this building, like Sheikh Najib mentioned, I think, that this building was, or no, the Imam mentioned that, this building was made by the Umayyads, Marwan bin Abdul Malik, and then his son, Walid. This building wasn't there. You know, this gold dome, none of this was there. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he conquered, and he wasn't actually a conquest as well, because he entered Quds Sulhan peacefully. He made a masjid around this area, but then that masjid was then reconstructed, and there was earthquakes, and then the Crusaders came, and then Salahuddin Ayyubi, then he built another masjid. So it's in this area, inshallah. Just take the nice breeze, spiritual breeze, but specifically thinking this wall has been touched or not, you know. We don't really need to do that as well. And really, look at the whole, let's mention the side point, the whole purpose for us is to get reward. Why do we come, why do we visit these places? Reward. How do we get reward? To offer salah. Because it's sunnah to pray here, there's lots of reward here. Allah will give us that reward. If Allah said pray in, you know, Japan, we go to Japan and pray, there's reward in Japan. So it's what Allah says. This is the whole idea behind it. And also learning about maybe this happened here, and Sheikh Najib was saying that, look, some things are like 1%, 2%, 5%, that this happened here, that happened there, this happened there. And this happens not just in this place. I've been to a lot of countries. You go to Syria, you go to the grave of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the prophets, it's like 1%, 2%. But even 2% is enough for us, inshallah. even 2%. I'm not trying to say completely. Even if it's 1%, inshallah. If not, it's no problem. At least we made a dua. We made a dua in Leicester. We made dua here in England or here. So, anyway, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from the buraq was tied against the wall, and this is quite strong. That this wall, the western wall, the western wall is behind this.
The other side.
The other side.
Where the buraq masjid is.
Okay. So yeah, they call it the western wall. This is, the scholars have mentioned, this is quite strong. That was the wall somewhere on that wall. It's a very big wall. Tied it, and then he could have been taken from that area, or he could have been taken from here. One knows best. Okay, we just leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was taken into the heavens, and then it's long, you know, first heaven, second heaven, the different prophets he met. All the prophets, when he met Adam alayhi salam, he said, Marhaban bil ibn salih wal nabi salih. Welcome my pious son and my pious prophet. And all the other ones, they said, Marhaban bil akhi salih wal nabi salih, pious brother. And he met all the different prophets. On the sixth heaven, he met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then in the final one, seventh one, Ibrahim, peace be upon him. And then we all know the story when he was given, he saw Jibreel in his original form, in the Sidratil Muntaha, إِذْ يَغْشَى السِدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. It's all in Surah Al-Najm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then also, then he went into upper realms. This is something that we don't know for correctly. Did he really see Allah with his eyes or not? Allah knows best. Even the Sahaba, the companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, used to say, yes, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did see his Lord with his eyes. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say, no, he categorically did not see, because he can't see Allah with these eyes in this world. لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. Only in Jannah, inshallah, we will all see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the companions disagreed, Allah knows best. Okay, we need to, rather than be more concerned about did he see or not, we need to be concerned whether we will be able to see him in Jannah. That's our responsibility. We need to act so that we enter Jannah, we can see. Whether he saw or not, we'll find out in Jannah, inshallah. So he went into upper realms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained 50 salawat prayers, and then you know the story. He came down, and Musa, peace be upon him, on the sixth heaven, he said, look, my ummah couldn't even do, like, you know, decrease it. He went to 10, and then he went to 5. He said, couldn't even do 2. Go back. He said, I feel ashamed. I can't go back. So only 5. I'll keep it at 5. But then the rewards for 5 prayers is equal to 50 salat that Allah gives to the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, after that, when he was returning, all the prophets came to see him off. You know when he was coming back? All the prophets that he met. Because look, this is why I said, you know why the scholar said that he did not lead them in prayer first? Because if he had, then he went up and then said, welcome, like, I've met you first time. Oh, you should let us pray downstairs. So this is why the ulama say that no, he didn't lead them. He just prayed tahiyyat al-masjid. Then he met all the prophets, and then all of them were coming with him. You know when you go to see your guest off? So they all descended, all the prophets, and many angels, thousands of angels, they all descended, and it happened to be Fajr Salah time, according to most commentators of the Quran. It happened to be Fajr Salah time, and therefore they all said, Iqama was done, Adhan was done, Iqama was done. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody was looking. Angel Jibreel told him, lead. And then after he told him, do you know who? All the prophets and many angels, you've led all of them in prayer. And this is, imagine, this area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lead all the prophets in prayer. This is just like an absolute summary. There were people who denied this. The mushrikeen of Makkah, they started making mockery. What, in the middle of the night? What happened? Like, look at this guy, he's telling us. Last night, he's been to Palestine, and he's been to the heavens, and he's come back, and he's already here. Like, do you believe him? They were making mockery. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually gave them signs. He actually said, in one hadith, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me, before me, the whole of Quds, how it looked like. And the picture was in front of him. They were asking him questions and he was describing. And some of them who had been there, they were astonished that he was actually describing. And he didn't just take a jet or something in those days. You know, he couldn't have gone just like that to quickly check. He described it to them. He also described Mount Sinai to them. Some of them who had been there, clear descriptions. He also saw other things. He also saw Jannah, Jahannam, and there's lots of other details with Mi'raj. One last thing. In the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wrote letters to, you know, the various leaders, the Roman emperors and people, he wrote one to Hercules, Herak. He's mentioned this hadith in Bukhari, famous hadith, calling them, inviting them towards Islam. He sent Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu. So Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu took this letter. This is carefully, because this, we don't really need this. We believe, inshallah, we believe. For a mu'min believer, you know, we believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said. That's why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, somebody came and told him that, do you know, your friend, this is what he's saying. Did he really say this? He hasn't heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him yet. Some non-Muslim is telling Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu next day, have you heard your friend, like, now are you going to stop following him? Look what he's saying now. That's the limit. You're definitely going to leave him now. So why? What did he say? This is what he said. He went to Quds and he went to the heavens, seven heavens, and he's come back and just in one night. Are you sure he said it? Yeah, he's saying this. The guy thought that he's going to say, okay, all right, I've left him now. He said, if he definitely said it, then I am the first one to believe in this. If he said it, then I believe. This is why he's called Siddiq. Saddaqa yusaddiqu Siddiq means the one who affirmed and believed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this Hercules, when he received the letter from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inviting him towards Islam, he said, can I find some people from Arabia who's here? Like, I just want to ask them some questions about this person who's claiming to be a prophet, who sent me a letter. So he asked his people. Somebody said, a group has come, traders, caravan of traders. Abu Sufyan, enemy of the Muslims, but then he became Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Sahabi, embraced Islam later on. He was there. He was one of the enemies of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him and his people. So Hercules called them, like, come here, I want to ask you some questions. There's this person in Makkah, he sent me a letter, he's claiming to be a prophet. Can I ask you some questions about him? Please be truthful. And remember that Arabs at that time, even the non-Muslims, never used to be untruthful. They never used to lie, they never used to be promised. They used to think it's a aib, like a defect. How can I break a promise? Even like a non-Muslim mushrik would never ever lie or even break a promise. So Abu Sufyan said, he's going to ask me questions. I don't want him to believe in him, so I'm going to try my best as much as possible, as long as I can, you know, the more I can stretch it. I'm not going to lie. Of course I can't lie, because even my people will call me a liar. Like, even against an enemy, I can't lie. Try my best to do something where I'm going to try to put him off. So I said, let me use Mi'raj. He asked him, is he trustworthy? He said, yeah, he's trustworthy. Has he ever lied? No. He's Sadiq, he's Amin. His followers are increasing or decreasing, increasing. All good things. He said, I can't just think of something negative. And then it clicked to my mind. Mi'raj, yes. Oh yeah, there's one thing he's claiming. That in the middle of the night, this person is saying he went to Quds, and he went to seventh heaven, heavens, he met all the prophets, he came back, led all the prophets, and he's come back, and after Fajr, he's back in Makkah. And he's saying that, and I'm not adding one, you know, pinch of masala in it. These are his words. So Hercules was thinking to himself that, hey, this is what he's saying. Next to Hercules, there was this person called Elia. He was the leading Christian priest who used to be the person in charge of this area, Baitul Maqdis. Because Hercules was in Sham. Okay, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the letter to Hercules, who was the Roman emperor. So he was sitting there. He said, wait a minute. I can remember that night. This is documented. He said, I remember one night, me and my colleagues Every night we have the doors for Bayt al-Maqdis, so there was some kind of building. We locked the doors. One night, and this is because Abu Sufyan said, he mentioned this approximately last year or something. So I can remember one night we closed all the doors, but one door would just not close. We tried, we got 6-7 people, like, what's happened? We called the engineers, like, we called them. Can you see? They tried. They said, it's just not closing. Then they said that, actually, I don't know what's happened. We can't check in the darkness. It looks like something's happened, something heavy, but these doors are not going to close. Let's go back home, leave it open for tonight. We'll do tawakkul ala Allah. We'll come back in the morning and we'll try sorting out. DIY job. Next morning, they all came and I came. And we saw that next to the door or the wall, it looked like there were some people had been walking here, and there was a massive hole in the wall, and you could see that somebody had tied an animal to it. It looked like a very big animal, a massive animal, because just, you know, the tying. And this, it was very clear, and he mentioned some other signs. Herakl said this, you know, and this was a leading Christian priest. He said, I can clearly remember this. And then he mentioned some scriptures that this is mentioned in our scriptures as well. The last prophet will come, who will actually lead all the prophets in prayers, and he will go from Bayt al-Maqdis, from Al-Quds, to the heavens and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lead all the prophets in prayer. So this is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we believe in, and we must have firm yaqeen and belief in this and not doubt this in any way, shape or form. And this happened from this area. It could possibly be from this rock, but not necessarily so. Okay, it could be possible. If it's from here, then inshallah we are talking about it in this area, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us some blessings of this event of Al-Isra and of Al-Mi'raj and all the other blessings of this area, inshallah ta'ala.